You are now tuned in to the Bleed Blue Show. Here are your hosts, Steve Blair and Chris Miles.
Steve, alongside my Bleed Blue partner in crime, Chris, as we get the Super Bowl fan reaction, call the number is always 929-477-4171 to the Bleed Blue Show. You can press the number one button on your touch tone phone if you want to be live on the air for any questions or comments. Also follow the Bleed Blue Show, the fan page at the Bleed Blue Show, Twitter at the Bleed Blue Show, Instagram at the Bleed Blue Show, and we get fan reaction of what we saw yesterday. Chris, what's going on? How you doing, man?
I guess I'm doing pretty well right now, man. it wasn't exactly perfect science, but it came out the way I wanted it to, you know. But I have mixed feelings about it like everyone else, and I know you do. But I'm really more interested in what you're feeling. What's your reaction, man, the day after, the night after, rather?
My
reaction
is
114 million people. You're good, bro.
114 million people, what?
114 million people saw this game yesterday. That's the most that ever watched it before.
That is
so
right.
So you have fans, you know, from all over the realm, man, representing everyone from other sports too that normally don't even watch football. You know, this was a gigantic event, and so the results and the drama of it was basically, I think it was warranted, but God dang, if you're a diehard football fan, you have to be, you know, kind of scratching your head, I feel. I want to know what you thought about that, though, man. Why don't you just tell us what the...
I would think the game, you know, for me was between a B-plus and an A-minus. I hear a lot of people saying that was the best Super Bowl ever. I'm not going to go that far. It was a good game, though, nonetheless. I thought the game was real fast in the first half. You know, before you knew it was already halftime. You know, the lack of, you know, penalties. You know, it was good football nonetheless. I'll say this. New England won the Super Bowl, and you may even say they earned the Super Bowl. I just think Seattle gave it away. It's just simple as that. You do not. That miracle play was pretty much the David Tyree catch part two. You know, it had all the makings of New England going down right there at the moment. I just can't believe the play call that the offensive coordinator, Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson, for even attempting that pick play. And I was just going bonkers as that happened. I'm just shocked. You have to run the ball there with probably the best running back in football. And he's relentless, you know. And I know you have a lot to say. What was your thoughts on that game? Outside of that play, you know, I had no other, you know, other issues with the game itself.
I'm one of these guys that believe that one bad reaction can erase a whole lot of good effort. You know, I'm one of those dudes. Okay? I come from the old school. And there was a lot of good effort in that game. There was some really there was some very ironic things. There was a guy, Chris Matthews, hadn't caught a pass all year. All of a sudden, he comes up big over this guy that they kept picking on all night, Harold Simon or whatever. How do you say it? Harold Simon or whatever. The guy was. I felt sorry for him all night long. The cornerback for the Patriots. They just picked him. I mean, they just picked him apart. There was also, of course, Malcolm Butler showed up out of West Alabama. I never even heard of the school. But he's going to be remembered forever. This was his shining night there. There was a lot of little funny things like that. I mean, funny guys, a lot of subheroes that showed up out of nowhere, and there were a lot of little funny plays that happened along the way that anticipated later actions. Like, for instance, that first Brady interception. You know, when I was yelling at the screen trying to figure out who he was trying to throw it to, and it was a complete panic. That foreshadowed what happened at the end, if you really think about it, you know, but for the other team. there was Sherman was not thrown. I don't think he was thrown to at all, and if he was, not more than one time. I think the halftime show was longer than the first half. Although I love that the fact that Missy showed up. I don't know what to say, man. It was just a very good game to me. I thought it was going to be. I would say it was one of the better Super Bowls. I wouldn't say it was just top notch. Number one, it doesn't beat Pittsburgh, Arizona, any of the giant victories over New England, but it was decent.
Agreed.
But I would.
I agree with that.
But I'm gonna tell you what. That terrible friggin' call and nullified anything I thought about that game. Sorry, it just nullified it. It was probably the worst call in probably. I put on Facebook that sports history is probably the worst ever. But I also I was going to tweet about it, but everyone beat me to it, so I knew I wasn't going to get read. So I just forgot that aspect of it. It sucked, man. A sim called. I mean, he wrote yesterday. He says, "Hey, look, man, we can't wait another week. We need to get this out immediately." And maybe last night would have been fun, but I don't think everybody would have been in their right mind. They would have been cussing. There would have been a lot of jib jab. Everyone would have been just goddamn too emotional for words. So I'm glad that we had a night. I mean, at least a day to kind of calm down, reflect, really take it easy and try to take another aspect, take another look at what actually transpired last night. And I tell you, not much has happened in that time for me. I still see stupid ass play calling. So I was trying to look at it from a different venue, but I just see dumb, just a bad decision on Pete Carroll, or maybe it was Darryl Bevell's fault. I'm not sure yet. The jury's out on that. But I don't know.
Let's get us some other perspectives to this, because I feel the same way, almost word for word, as you do, as the play, the game itself. You know, mm-hmm. you know, a little bit mm-hmm. different. You know, Super Bowl halftime performances and all that. It was a good game, not the greatest game I saw, but it was entertaining nonetheless. Let's bring on the co-host for the Bleed Blue Show for the New York Football Giants, Joseph Aligo. I know he has a lot to say, Mr. Aligo. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Hello, boys.
What's up, Joe? Hey, bud. How you doing?
I'm all right. That was a fantastic game last night. I think it was really one for the ages. So I kind of disagree with you guys. If I was to grade it, I'll give it to an 8 or an 8+, because it was filled with a lot of drama, edge of your seat, don't know what the hell's going to happen. And games like this, this close, which I predicted was going to be this close, you know, something crazy is going to happen, and it did. Not only the one play. That was crazy. Happened two crazy plays happened. One was a catch late in the game in the fourth quarter. What was that? Kirsten made the catch, or was it somebody else? I forget.
It was Kirsten made that jump.
The ball popped in the air. I thought the ball was incomplete, and I can't believe he caught it. I'm sitting there going, I had to rub my eyes at least five times. I'm like, hey, he did what? I'm like, holy smokes. I thought the ball was incomplete. I mean, that in itself, I said, wow. I mean, lucky catch. I mean, absolute lucky catch. I think David Tyree's catch had a bit more skill. Could he hit him up and get that sucker? I mean, the catch last night with Curse, the ball was just popping all over the place, and how that landed, like, basically on his stomach, and he's still able to corral it, and the ball never hit the ground, and it was a big completion. So, a lot of luck there. But hey, in games like this, you got to have luck. It's not all skill. And then it basically set up first and goal inside the 5-yard line, or actually first and goal inside the one. And Marshawn gets the ball. He almost scored on the first carry. The pass stopped him on the 1-yard line. They ran the next play, and it was a pass play. And before you know it, picked off by the number 21. It's like the game of Clue or Sherlock Holmes. The butler did it, and he sure did. He set the front of the ball. He picked it off. Game over. And there's a few more penalties after that to help push New England out from the shadow of their own goalpost out to not really midfield, but sort of halfway to there, maybe the 20, 30-yard line, whatever it was, with all the penalties that happened afterwards, because a fight broke out after that, which I thought was ridiculous. So anyway, after that, it was just game, set, match. It was like one of the most incredible games I've seen in my life. And I don't care what anyone says, you can put it up there with Super Bowl 25, Super Bowl 42, Super Bowl 46, all the great games of the NFL Super Bowls in the past. This one ranks right up there. It was a great game. It was a fantastic game from a football fan's perspective, standpoint, and a Giants fan like we all are. You got to be fair. This was a great game. It's an amazing game. I mean, compared to last year, night and day. You know, we could talk about the missed call, or actually the bad play call sent in on the Russell Wilson pass that was picked off by Butler on the goal line instead of running Marshawn Lynch. We could talk about that now until the cows come home. We're now until doomsday. All I can say is, to the victor goes the spoiler. You know, shit happens. That's just the way it is. It's sports, that's life, and we just got to deal with it. I know it's real greaseball shit, but that's the way it is. So, hats off to the Pats. They got 4 Super Bowl championships. They tied us. We got 4. They got 4. They want to talk smack. They want to talk shit. Let them have their fun. They have every right to do it. Belichick's a great coach, and Brady is an immortal player. He's not a great player. He's an immortal player. He's amazing. And I think last night's performance, by him getting his 4th ring, playing in 6 Super Bowls, I know we beat him twice, and surpassing Joe Montana's touchdown record in the Super Bowl, yep, he's the best ever. He's better than Montana, and he's better than Johnny Unitas. And I never saw Johnny Unitas play in my life. I'm only 44 years old this month, so I never saw Johnny Unitas play. But anyway, but in this generation, probably the best ever is number 12 for the New England Patriots. Say what you want about him, hate on him all you want, this, that, and the other thing. Take your pot shots. He's an immortal player. He's a great player. He's got my respect. So, way to go,
hey, Chris,
Pats.
I got a question for you on that.
You were
how surprised were you watching this game? Tom Brady, I know he went for like 320 yards, 4 touchdowns, a couple of picks. But how surprised were you how the Seattle corners were so off the ball, allowing the receivers for the Patriots, you know, just catch, you know, wide open passes, you know, like those quick outs all game long underneath. You know, how surprised were you that Seattle didn't play their normal bump and run?
Not very, because I know Brady's great enough that they have the book on Brady like everyone else is, not everybody else does. And Brady's one of those great players. Great players meaning you can't, whatever your conventional read of the guy is, whatever the regular book you have on him, is he will sidestep that and he'll do something dazzling to destroy your whole goddamn game plan, throw a monkey wrench in your whole shit. And so no, I knew they weren't going to be able. You know what? It was difficult to jam their receivers anyway because, first of all, Thomas wasn't really feeling himself. They threw the ball away from Richard Sherman's area. They, what was the kid's name again? Darryl Simon, I think his name was.
Yeah, Simon,
number 27.
Yeah, he was totally unprepared. I mean, okay, I'm sorry. I'm going the other way. I was thinking about something else early in the game, the first half. Let me answer your question directly. I wasn't very surprised at that. I thought that there was probably something else in the can that they had, and I thought that they'd be able to pretty much. I thought they were cocky enough to think that maybe Brady would get shook again, like in the second quarter. That's what I thought they did. I think they outguessed themselves, but I'm not really sure about that, Steve, because there's 3 or 4 different answers to that question. You know, you had guys that weren't 100%. You had Edelman running under you. You had what's the other one's name? Amendola, who who was like running slants and shit. That
yeah.
I don't know what the hell was going on too much. But I do know one thing. I thought that they relied a little bit too much defensively on what the linebacker core would do to confuse Brady, and they didn't execute at all. That's what I do know. But that's all that is. I gotta ask you something. I gotta react to one little thing before we bring the next caller in. I know who it is too. Joe,
yeah.
I do appreciate entirely everything you just said about Brady, and I do agree with that 98%. But you cannot put him over Joe Montana in any way, shape, fashion, slice, form, any way like that. He's a great quarterback. He's definitely a Hall of Famer. He definitely deserves all the accolades he deserves. But to say he's better than Montana, oh no, man. You gotta back off that a little bit, dude. Just a little bit. Okay, Montana never ever had the kind of issues that Brady had. In fact, Brady didn't even play a good game the first half of this one.
Well,
okay, and also Brady lost a couple of Super Bowls.
He did.
He lost
to us. I know, but he still got more touchdown passes in the big game than Montana does. And he played in six. Yeah, he played in six. You know, he played in six. He's been there six times.
Montana played in four. Never lost. Never had to do a miracle. Well, he had one miracle comeback there against Cincinnati. And that was kind of, I guess that would be his worst performance. The second Cincinnati Super Bowl, not the first one.
88, right.
And,
88, 89.
Right.
The 88,
89 one, right.
Right. But if you're going to go side by side, I can't really see Brady taking a leapfrog over Montana in that aspect. I can't do that. At the same time, you can never deny Brady's greatness. Can't do it. And you're absolutely right about that. He's a surefire, all-time, great, fantastic NFL player, quarterback, leader, winner.
Actually. Champion. Yes.
Champion.
Yeah.
So I'm not taking that away from him. I'm just saying that's a slippery slope right there when you say Montana, bud. I just had to mention it that way.
Okay.
Hold on a second.
Right.
704, what's happening?
What's going on, y'all?
Hey, Charles.
Hey, what's up,
Mr. Jack?
What's going on?
Not much.
What's
Charles?
Hey,
how are you?
Man, let me jump in this Brady thing, man. I'll be honest with you. I think Joe owns something, though, because when I look at Montana, man, that dude had the best, arguably the best wide receiver that's going to go down in NFL history, man. I mean, I can imagine if Brady had he's never really
Moss.
Had a top receiver other than a washed up Randy Moss one year. I mean,
22 touchdowns ain't
I can
exactly
imagine.
Washed up though, Charles.
Wait. A wash
22
off
touchdowns
Randy Moss?
Not exactly washed up.
No, man. Randy Moss was not washed up. That was a hellified New England Patriot team that year, man. You know it.
They were excellent, but I mean, Randy Moss at that point, he was on a downside. He was coming down from his high at that point. You know what I'm saying? I'll say it like that. I won't say he's washed up, but he still can make plays, still beat you deep,
okay.
Stuff like that. But and then let's be honest, Randy Moss never really been. He's been a deep threat, but he never was really a complete wide receiver anyway. Jay Rice would go over the middle. Jay Rice would slant. Jay Rice would go deep. Jay Rice would cut. Would catch a 10-yard route and turn it up to a touchdown, a 50-yard touchdown. He would do a lot of amazing things with that ball, man. And Randy Moss is really a one-trick pony for most of his career. But with that being said, Brady has done. He's won with three Super Bowls now, really an elite wide receiver. That's saying a lot, man, because like I say, Montana, Steve Young, all them guys, they had a couple of receivers. I mean, John Taylor wasn't a bum, you know,
when
he was good. He was a good number two. Could have been a number one on probably a lot
Charles,
of teams.
Let me
that,
say
you know,
something real quick. Let me rebut real quick about that, because what kind of hurts that argument to a degree, I mean, Montana won four times and won without Rice. So how do you explain that?
I mean, even with that being said, man, look at the running games. Look at the running games at the ones Montana won. The Roger one before Craig. Rice, he might have won one before Rice, but wasn't Roger Craig there? Roger Craig wasn't a bum. I mean, that dude was good,
Roger
man.
Roger Craig was
that,
a running back, though, man.
That
yeah,
was
but
a
we're talking about
back,
wide receivers,
man.
Though. Let's not talk about running backs.
But no,
talk
but
about wide receivers, talk about wide receivers.
But it's the things. Joe Montana didn't win no Super Bowls by himself. I mean, he didn't get to the Super Bowl by himself.
Neither did Brady.
But what I'm saying is, if you compare
great quarterbacks,
if you compare
both
the
great
two,
quarterbacks,
if you compare the two and compare the weapons around them, I have to go with Joe on this one because if you're comparing them side by side, and it's different eras, but talent is talent, and if you're comparing the eras, they just won a Super Bowl with pretty much not a top running back. Not a top receiver. They just won the bowl with basically average players. Let's be honest. We got
they
better receivers than the Patriots.
Belichick's system is a committee system, really.
It's a committee.
That's what it is.
And what I'm saying is, this dude is doing, he's won four Super Bowls with less talent. My talent got Hall of Fame talent around him. He was a Hall of Famer himself, but then he had Hall of Fame talent around him. That's saying
a
lot, man. We talk about
itself. Charles, that cancels itself, man. Either you can have a team with all Hall of Famers or you can have a team that works well as a team. How many Hall of Famers
like
are going to come off the Seattle Seahawks?
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this question. Does Eli win the Super Bowl without Plexico? Hell no.
No.
Ain't no way in the world. We don't win that Super Bowl without Plex, man.
No.
You take Jerry Rice off that field, I'm not so sure that Montana win that second bowl he won. Or what? Second or third, whatever his one it was. I think it was the second bowl with Rice. I think he won two with Rice, right?
He won two with Rice, the last two.
I don't know if he even win them two without if Rice is not on that team, or hurt or whatever. I don't even know if he wins those two. If that talent, I don't even know if they make it to the Super Bowl without Rice. You know what I mean?
I'm not even sure if that's an argument, man. You know,
I'm
I really don't
saying,
know,
dude.
Man.
I mean, I know that,
right.
But that's these are two
we
different
know
times.
Now. Kinds of things here.
Guys, wait a minute. Slow down just a bit. I mean, Charles makes a point. Early 80s, Montana had Dwight Clark and Freddie Solomon, you know?
Yeah.
They were good receivers. They're all right. They weren't world beaters. They were good receivers. They were good players.
Right.
And that's what he won with. In a decent running game. I mean, I remember when I was a 10-year-old kid, the Niners had Earl Cooper in the backfield running the ball. And I think
that's right. And he turned into a wide receiver. That's correct.
Yeah, I think they had another running back too. It wasn't Roger Craig. Roger Craig wasn't on the team yet.
Ricky Patton.
Ricky Patton. Okay, all right. We're talking 81 here. So anyway, the next Super Bowl he won was 84. The Dolphins. That's when Roger Craig was on the team. Mm-hmm. Jerry Rice wasn't there yet. Jerry Rice had come to 85, and after that, they went.
Then it was the teams that we know. Then was the teams that we all remember.
Yeah. But even the 84 team, the 84 team, come on, man, that tight end he had, that dude was just as good compared to like a Witten of today. I mean, come on, man.
Gronkowski better than all of them. So what's the point?
I mean, I give you Gronk.
Yeah, no,
I
don't know.
Gronk.
I mean. I don't know if there's an argument there, man. I'll give you Gronk.
I mean, we'll give you Gronk, but Gronk, you know, he's a good tight end. You know what I mean? He's an above-average tight end, whatever.
Yeah,
at the end of the day.
He's the best tight end in the sport.
Yeah, my
at the end of the day,
right now.
Steve, but you cannot, this dude, you can't, your point is not valid because, you know why? Them dudes ain't got no running game. None. Blunt is not a running game.
Wait a minute.
Not a running game.
Hold on, Charles. First is wide receivers. Then we say it's not wide receivers. Then you went to running back.
No. I said it's talent around him.
What is it about?
I've said that twice already. The talent around Montana and the talent around Brady, if you compare the two side by side, you know what I mean? I remember I said it about 5 minutes ago. If you compare the two, even though it's different eras, Montana had more talent around him to get his Super Bowls done. versus Brady. You got to commend Brady, and I got to get Brady the edge because I feel like, personally, he didn't have a talent on offense that Montana had coming up. That's all I'm saying. I'll leave it at that.
Well, Montana's talent around it went from average to pretty good, you know, and started from the bottom and escalated way up. I mean, like I said, Dwight Clark and Ray Solomon, they're good receivers. They were solid, but it just got better after that. You know, after a while, you know, players get old, they lose a step, and you got to replace them. So the talent level did get better around Montana, but Brady's been doing it with nobody's lately. And I know we beat them twice, but hey, four Super Bowl championships, six tries, and those two losses came to us. Hey, man, that is hats off to you. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, no doubt about it.
I give him that too.
But anyway, we can go back to this play with Marshawn Lynch, where everyone's saying he should have gotten the ball down the goal line, you know. And I would agree. You know, definitely the best power running back in the league, the guy who's strong as an ox. It's very, very tough to bring him down. People are saying the ball's on the half-inch yard line. You give it to him and let him bash his way up there, let him score. Okay, you're right about that. But, A, they didn't call the play. B, I said before, crazy things always happen in games like this, or they're this close, you know, and somebody pulled a brain cramp. Somebody pulled a rock. And that's what happened last night. And actually...
Well, let me ask you this. This was the one play that I feel like... You know, after a game, they say, well, we would have did the same thing again. We would have made the same call no matter what the outcome. We would have made the... This is the one time that I think that nobody's saying that, man. They would definitely run the ball again. If they could do it again... They wouldn't. Pete Carroll, I don't think he would say, we would call that same. I know for a fact that dude would run the ball, man. I mean, that was, he made a very, somebody made a very bad play call. You got three downs and two timeouts, and you passing the ball on the 1 yard line, 2 yard line, whatever it was.
In a Super Bowl, in that position,
with
less than 20 seconds left.
Yeah.
Oh, my
it was 20 seconds left even. It wasn't less than 20, and I think it was one timeout and not two. But, yeah, I mean, I would have gave it to Beast Mode, no doubt about it. I would have gave it to him. But, hey, I thought about this, too, today, early this afternoon. I could go back in Super Bowl history, back when I was 10 years old, 1981. I know we're talking about Joe Montana and 49ers, that first Super Bowl against the Bengals. Remember that one play late in the game, fourth quarter? Bengals got the ball inside the 5 yard line, and what do they do? Ken Anderson turned around, handed the ball to Big Pete Johnson, who was Marshawn Lynch.
Big Pete Johnson.
Yeah,
that's right.
He was poor Beast Mode. So they gave it to Pete Johnson four times. Guess what? But I just stuffed him every single time. So
that's right. That was the Fred Dean front line. That was the Fred Dean front line for the 49ers.
But. Right. Marshawn Lynch, come on, man.
Yeah, but...
He was going to score.
He probably would have, Charles, but it's no guarantee.
He was going to score, man.
Listen,
wait a minute. Listen, if Ipsum...
It's a good chance he would.
We'd all have a Merry Christmas, okay? It is what it is. Somebody pulled a rock. You guys made a bad play call. Who knows what could have happened? You know, all I know is the pass made the play, the Seahawks didn't, people were arguing, somebody pulled a rock, someone got lucky, blah, 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 blah. The game is over, you know? That's it. To the victor goes to spoils. That's it.
Joe, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
How many times have you seen the other opposing team know exactly what Marshawn Lynch is going to do? They already there before he there, and he still have a 10-yard run. That's why he's called Beast Mode, because it's not that he does anything special other than teams already know. I've seen, man, I can't tell you how many times this year that the guy was right there before he even, they knew the play.
Yeah.
They still run it, and this dude still gets 15 yards down the field. When he wants to run and he's got, it's pretty much no stopping him. he was getting ready. He almost scored on the play before that.
Right, right.
And all he had to do was give it to him again.
Right.
He was going to score. He was going to get 5 yards at least. He would have been 5 yards inside the end zone, man.
Listen, I'm not arguing or saying you're wrong. I'm like, give it to a big, strong, powerful back line. Yeah. Chances are, 99.9% of the time, you bet your ass he's going to score.
We ain't talking about Jacobs now.
No, I'm talking about Marshawn Lynch. How about Brandon Jacobs?
Okay, but wait a minute. Okay, but wait, hold up. Before we go any further, man, because there's like a half hour left, let's bring on a big O. What's up, Chief?
Hey, what's up, O?
You there?
Big O. Big O, I know you're there, man. Come on.
Don't hear him.
All right, we'll keep his mic open.
Okay, let's keep going.
Chris.
Yeah, go ahead.
Charles, Joe, I think that argument between Brady and Montana is very close. I personally, I'm not about to put Brady ahead of Montana, but it's damn near close, like 1-1A almost. I mean, you could make an argument for both sides. I mean Brady, I mean, he is playing in the era of salary cap where Montana did it, and that's a huge advantage for the Brady argument. But you know, he's won a Super Bowl basically in almost two different eras to a degree. I mean, 10 years later, that's impressive. You know, he has, you know, 10 years later after the fact, that's another notch for the Brady argument. But I don't know. I think if Brady, he could and probably would win another Super Bowl or two. And then he might leapfrog Joe. But as of right now, I'm not really about to put him ahead of Joe Montana. Because Joe Montana in bigger games, there's been games in Brady's career where he just hasn't shown up. You know, I mean, not even in just the Super Bowl, but just regular playoff games. When he gets stomped out by the Ravens those years.
What
you know,
happens,
mm-hmm. it happens. Oh, yeah, it happens.
It happened to Montana, too.
I can't think of any of the game. Well, there's been games with Joe, but like the Giant games, for instance, is when he got knocked out, field goal game, they said 90. Yeah. It's so close, though. It's so close. But Brady, but you can't knock under. It's kind of like almost like the Jordan-Kobe argument. I can't really put you ahead when you're undefeated in Super Bowls. You know, I really can't. Not right now.
Basketball with Jordan. Jordan's got six NBA titles. Enough said. I mean,
six out of six. That's the difference.
Six out of six. Like Joe Montana.
Six. I mean,
not just six, but
yeah,
six
it's
out
five
out of six.
Six. Yeah. That right there.
Joe.
Kobe to Jordan. Yeah, Kobe to Jordan ain't no comparison, man, just because Kobe hadn't caught them rings yet. But as far as the Joe Montana thing, too, I mean, look at it like this, too, though. Man, with Brady getting to the Super Bowl, like Joe said, he's got to the Super Bowl two extra times that he didn't even win. So, I mean, just getting there and getting your team there, you
got to
put him over Joe. You got to put him over Joe because of that.
Yeah.
Joe couldn't even get there.
Exactly.
As much as Brady did. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I think that's what puts Brady over. That's what puts Brady over.
Nah,
right.
No,
right.
I don't know about all that.
I'll give you another one.
I don't know about all of that now.
Joe had a lot better competition in his own conference than Brady did.
Wait a second. I'll give you another argument.
Joe was going through the Redskins at that time, the Giants at the time, the Bears at the time, even the Rams were shocking team here and there. I mean,
Joe was
going through, his conference was a gauntlet. Brady ain't really had no
how many,
gauntlet. He had to face
okay,
one Steely team that was on a hot streak.
Steely Mac,
did. And arguably, Joe had more dominant teams. Dominant teams.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Let me ask y'all this. How many great quarterbacks were in the Joe Montana era?
Oh, let's see. Dan Marino. You got to put Elway in there. You got to throw Boomer Esiason in there, who had a nice 5-6 year run. You got to put I'm missing somebody here.
I don't know about Boomer Esiason.
I'm listening to two of them.
I don't know about Boomer Esiason.
Yeah, during that period, you said at that time.
I'm talking about elite status.
Telly.
Elite status. Let's try it again. You're talking about during Montana's time, right?
Right. Just in his era.
Okay. Then you're looking at Marino. You're looking at Esiason. You're looking at Kelly.
You're looking at, now it's dripping out of my ears here. You're looking at, okay,
Elway.
Kenny Anderson. I did say Elway. Kenny Anderson was at the end of his career, so you can't really count him. He's a 70s quarterback. Elite status, I would stop right there probably.
Okay, how many?
I'm not putting Jim McMahon in there, and I'm not putting Ken O'Brien in there.
Nope.
And I'm not putting Brogan was at the end of his life too.
Nope.
And that's about it because he wasn't really challenged in the NFC because the 49ers were so damn dominant.
Okay, now
you know,
look at Brady. Let's look at the quarterbacks. Let's look at all the. How many elite quarterbacks in Brady's era?
It's a little inflated to a degree because
of the passing area. You can't really touch the receivers.
This is a passing era, dude.
You can't touch the receivers now.
You know it is.
Let's agree to disagree, guys.
I forgot Dan Fouts. That's what I was trying to think of. Dan Fouts was a monster back then. A big one. A gigantic one.
Yeah. He was
a gigantic monster.
When did Dan Fouts retire, though?
87.
Late 80s.
87. I was in high school, 87.
Yeah. I guess you could throw him in there. But
you got to throw him in there.
Okay, I want to say.
Ed Cordell was incredible, man.
But if it's a passing league and we might as well just agree to disagree. We're just not going to agree on that one, man. You know? It's just one of them things we're just not going to agree
on. You can't even hit the quarterback now, dude. You can't hit him.
We're just not going to agree.
Those defenses, we all know on the line, those defenses back then, you could destroy the quarterback and not get flagged if it was even a tenth of a lane.
It's not even about that. But, Steve, it's not even about that. It's about you going head-to-head. The rules, everybody had the same rules in 84. Everybody got the same rules in 2015, right? So we got the same rules. But what I'm saying is,
no, they're not the same.
You're going head to head.
They're not the same rules
from 84 and 2000. No. What I'm saying is, everybody that's played in 84, 85, 86, 87, 90, whatever, they all would play under the same rules, right? So they all were getting hit. They all was whatever. Same thing goes in this era, this season. Everybody's playing under the same rules. So you can't hit the quarterback, this, that, and the other. What I'm saying is, to me, Brady is going against more elite quarterbacks and
elite talent now
than Montana had to face head-to-head in the NFC in the 80s.
It's a different league, Charles. You're right now. You know, just in his conference alone.
We got to learn to we're going to have to disagree on this one because here's my thing. Montana did not have a lot of head-to-head competition when it came to quarterback in the NFC in his era.
He wasn't playing other quarterbacks. He was a quarterback playing for 49ers against other teams, dude. It's a different
thing.
Who was
an elite? But what I'm saying is, what other quarterback could put their team on their back like a Montana in that day?
The first sin is really comparing the dominant Joe Montana era, which is the 80s, to the Tom Brady era, which is the 2000s.
Y'all really answered your own question because if it's a passing league, that makes it harder for Brady to get back and win the Super Bowl.
No, it doesn't.
If it's a passing league, it made it harder for Joe.
Joe wouldn't make it
4,000 yards a year.
Doesn't it make it hard?
The race came along.
Let me give you this analogy. It's just like Tiger Woods. When Tiger Woods was playing fat old men in the early 90s, he was killing it, right? So now, all of a sudden, everybody wants to say, well, what happened to Tiger? No, nothing happened to Tiger Woods other than everybody wants to work out. Everybody got this new Superfly equipment that does everything that Tiger Woods does.
Tiger Woods has other issues, and you know it.
He got some mental stuff going on.
Right.
What I'm saying, though, how many fat golfers you see nowadays? How many fat old golfers you see today?
Well, Tiger changed all that.
Hold on. Who are these elite quarterbacks you're referring to in this era?
Well, no, I'm saying, look, you got to go. I'm going to tell you. This man is going directly. He's going directly in his conference against Peyton Manning. That's just cut and dry.
He's
you can't tell me another quarterback. You can't tell me another quarterback.
Hold on,
Steve, hold on. You can't tell me another quarterback that Montana has went against head-to-head year after year in the NFC. Tell me another quarterback that he had to duel with and had to contend with. Who?
Under 500 in the postseason.
Who was a legitimate winning quarterback? Joe Theismann was a legitimate. He comes right. He popped in my head because he won. He was a two back-to-back Super Bowl.
Joe Theismann didn't even finish out his era, man. He got hurt. So he didn't even finish,
they all get hurt time to time.
That's an asterisk beside that because he had an injury that's in his career.
Dude,
man.
You're talking about two different. This is what we're doing. We're talking about two different quarterbacks, two different eras, two different times. Times and eras are different too. Meaning, when you say era, you're talking about back in Joe's day. That was a running league. Today, it's all wide open passing. Better athletes. Better regimen, better teams. Also, expansion plays into that, too. You got athletes. You have more athletes now. You don't have a lot of athletes then. You have good football players. But pure athletes, they're a dime a dozen now. For instance, that kid, Chris Matthews, I had never heard of him before the Super Bowl. And look what he came in there and did. Because the Patriots wasn't ready for that kind of athleticism at that point, offensively. But back to the Super Bowl game, the reason we're talking about this right now, while we're on the air right now, what happened basically was a goddamn crime. That play should have never been called. Seattle flat out blew the damn game. It was disastrous.
Did you hear the explanation? Did you hear the explanation from Carol? Did y'all hear that?
What was the explanation?
He said that it was first down, they ran the ball. And he wanted to, I guess he wanted to keep the Patriots honest. He wanted to mix it up. Yeah, he basically wanted to mix it up and not go in with the run four times in a row, which I still don't know why you got Marshawn. It's not like you got Brandon Jacobs back there, dude, or Joe Schmo.
Marshawn Lynch was beating up the left side of that damn defense all night long.
I don't know why he's
running back in there again.
But that was Pete Carroll.
I have no idea why.
That was his analogy at the end of the game. They interviewed him. He said that he basically wanted to keep the other team honest. He didn't want to go in, you know. They
I
seen an opening for
the offensive coordinator myself.
He said maybe that. I mean, because he looked shocked, just like everybody else.
Yeah.
He didn't. It looked like he.
Richard Sherman. Did you see Richard Sherman's face?
Yeah.
And did you see how the whole team reacted? Did you see how the whole team reacted the next play?
Pete Carroll was like, "What just happened? Like, why did we do that?" But I guess that's him covering for his coaches, and that's what his analogy was that hey, we wanted to go, we wanted to. Oh, he also said we only had so many timeouts or whatever. If he don't catch, either he catch the ball and catch a touchdown, or he drops the ball and that stops the clock. We didn't want to run with the clock being, or the time frame being what it was. That's what he said. That was the main thing he said. He said he catches the ball, touchdown, cool, whatever. If he drops it, it stops the clock. And that was another thing he said.
Hey, catch 22, fellas. Damn if you do, damn if you don't. And that's it. You know, you try to catch a pass sleeping, and a Bill Belichick coach team, be ready for anything. And that's what they were.
Yep.
They were just ready for it. That's it. They were just ready for it. They made the play. Give them credit. Game over. To the victor goes to spoils. That's it. Done deal. Finished. That's it. And real quick, I don't waste too much time on it because you waste a lot of time on it already. You know, going back to Montana had some bad games in the playoffs. He had them bad games against us, against the Giants, and that one game, 1987, we lost to the Vikings, the game we should have won. And the Niners were number one seed in the NFC. But I'm going to get off that soapbox because that's another story for another time. I just want to throw that in there because we're talking about Montana a lot tonight. We should be talking about this game. But, hey, the same last night, to the victor goes spoils. You know, it happens. I mean, crazy plays are going to happen in this game all the time. And it happened last night. It didn't happen once. It happened twice. You know, the lucky catch that Kurtz made down the sideline where the ball was popping in the air. I thought he dropped it. He didn't. He caught it. It was miraculous. It was so lucky as hell. And now the Marshawn Lynch should have got the ball play. Whatever. Hey.
Well, I'll say about this about Kurtz. At least he made up with that circus catch because he dropped a big third down conversion late in the third quarter, which Seattle ran away with this game. When they were up 10, you know, they were marching.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I felt at that time the Seahawks should have just, you know, they should have, you know, put the pedal to the metal. But that key drop by Kurtz, you know, I don't know if you want to say he made up for it, but there was a point in this game where I thought the Seahawks were in control and they were really about to run New England out of the building until Kurtz dropped that key third down.
I think I heard Chris say early in the broadcast about Seattle. To me, once they were up, they went not into a they didn't do the pair of fuel thing and go into a prevent, but they did start to play to not to lose on that aggressiveness.
Exactly.
You cannot stop being aggressive against Brady because he's gonna kill you. You're gonna let him back in the game when you start letting off the pedal and start trying to play not to lose. And it's like they was trying to not stomp on their throats. They were saying, okay, we got a 10-point lead this third quarter. Let's, you know, we can coast this thing out because we're that good. No, Brady's that good with average receivers. I mean, and that's it's kind of like that. It's like they kind of got stopped being aggressive and tried to get back aggressive once they got back in the game and it was too late. But, I mean mm-hmm. – they got really conservative, man. Once they got up 10 points, that I was like, wow, they
yeah,
better be careful with that.
Yeah, I thought when Seattle got up 10 points, I thought New England was in for a world of shit, and boy was I wrong. And I picked New England to win, and thank God the division just. I mean, my pick was right. So, but yeah, I thought New England was in for a world of shit when they were down 10. But hey, they got back in it, and gentlemen, this game is not perfect. This game was not perfect. I told you. Crazy stuff happens all the time in games like this when it's this close. All the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. You can't predict it. It happens. It happened last night. That's it.
Joe, I'm going to tell you what I like. Chris and Steph, I'm going to tell you what I like about this. I'm going to tell you what I like about our Super Bowl wins against them. We were never mm-hmm. in a position to where we could relax. It forced Eli to win the game. I think that was the perfect case scenario that could have ever played out in both of them Super Bowls because Eli even says it a lot. He say, would you rather the coaches call a different game when you have to kick a field goal to win versus having to score? They're more aggressive when you have to score to win. And, I mean, man, to me, I'm glad we were in a position that forced Eli because that's when he thrives at his best, man. It's when he has to make something out of nothing and win the games on the line. You know, that's what he's made his name off for.
I agree.
I'm glad we didn't have no 10-point lead and all that good stuff because at the end of the day, man, you get so lax and say, well, it's third quarter, we got 10-point lead, we're leading the boom, and we're this and that. And you start feeding into that, and you see Richard Sherman throwing up four fingers and doing all this crazy mess in the camera and all that. See, his focus became unraveled, man, and Brady crept right back in there, and they won that game out, man. But I'm so fortunate we was behind because it forced us to stay focused and stay aggressive. We pulled him out, man. Brady will get you. Brady, he can beat you, man.
Yep. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. He's a great player, and that's it. That's nature of the beast with this game. That's nature of the beast, you know. You got to take it for what it is. I mean, some teams are going to win, some teams are going to lose, you know. All I can say is, last night I watched the game from a football fan's perspective. Hey, that was a great game. Lived up to the hype. It's one of the best Super Bowls I ever watched. It was wonderful.
It was a good one. I wasn't mad at it at all.
It was wonderful. It was great. I mean, compared to last year, night and day. Night and day.
No doubt.
Last year.
No doubt.
The best part about Super Bowl 48 last year was the halftime show for Bruno Mars. That was the best part of the best part of the Super Bowl. I prefer to watch Rock.
I don't like
shit.
Bitsy myself this year.
Chris, now to get on the subject. Chris, after we get off, man, I got to hammer you on this draft, man. But we're going to get into that. I just want to let you know that. I'm not with you, man. I'm not with you with your draft choice, man.
Next Sunday. Next Sunday.
We're going to do it.
Well, Chris, I'm going to get with you offline on Facebook. But, you know, we'll discuss it a little bit.
Okay.
And we'll bring it to everybody else.
All right. Okay. Talk about Facebook. Talk about on Sunday. Sunday
we saw
our Giants
armchair
team. What's the time on Sunday now, y'all?
Hold on, guys. Chris, question about Russell Wilson and then why you don't think, you know, when the play came in, they were, you know, throw the ball through the pick play and got intercepted.
Right.
Why would Russell Wilson not audible out of that? You know, you got the best running back. I there's so many things wrong with this. Like,
well, you heard
okay.
what Russell Wilson said, right?
He's going to be politically correct, Charles, but
nah. Let me cut you off.
Chris, what's your thoughts on that?
What my thoughts are? My thoughts about that. You know what? I think it's going to sound kind of funny, but and I know he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback already. And he has a ring on his finger. He was the defending champion yesterday. But I think in the heat of that particular moment, at that particular time, in that play situation, in the biggest game of life, when his eyes are about 10 feet big, I think he didn't think about audible. I think he was like, yes, master, Igor shit.
Yep.
And he went ahead and executed the way it was supposed to be, the way it's supposed to be carried out. That's what happened there. You could tell it was a whole state of panic with that. And let me tell you something. The reason I know that to be true has nothing to do with what anybody said. The reason I know is because after that play, you got to watch two things. Watch Richard Sherman's reaction on the bench, number one. And number two, when look at how the thuggery came out of the Seahawks. When the ball was turned over into the Patriots' hands, look what happened. That was sheer frustration. That was sheer fuck it. No one agreed with that. That was the shine of a team falling completely a fucking apart. So to answer your question, Steve, they weren't on sync at all anyhow emotionally. You know. So the whole shit fell apart, and now they have longer to think about it. Not only because of the off season, but they just lost their damn defensive coordinator to damn Atlanta.
Right.
Yeah.
So now
for the second year in a row.
You know, for the second year in a row, and they might lose the offensive guy, the one that called the play in the first place. So, what did I think about it? I thought he panicked. I thought he blinked. I thought he got shook. And that's why he didn't goddamn audible the way he should have. Yeah, Russell Wilson, yeah.
The only thing I'll say to that, Chris, I agree with everything you said other than the fact, I ain't going to say he was shook. I think that in that moment, I'm with Russell Wilson. If you give me a play, if it doesn't work, you're not going to be able to say I didn't execute the play or I called an audible. Well, why did Russell Wilson call an audible?
We got 6 minutes left, and I'm going to pose this question. We got 6 minutes left. I'm going to pose this question, and I'm going to take some of your thunder the way you ask it, too. Okay, do you honestly think that Tom Brady would have thrown that ball?
Wait, we're talking about two different players, man.
Don't give me that. Don't give me that.
I'm dead serious, man.
You are a Super Bowl champion. You are a Super Bowl champion quarterback. You were leading your team. You got You got 20 seconds left on the world stage at that moment, at that particular time of the game. You
Brady,
can get the audible if you want to. With
Brady
throwing
and
that
Wilson,
ball.
Brady and Wilson are two different animals, man. Brady probably called his own plays anyway.
No, he doesn't.
But at the end of the day, we're talking about we're talking about two different players. We're talking about a shitload of more experience than Wilson. We got to remember, Wilson had a lot of success early, but it's kind of like the Big Ben thing when he won the Super Bowl in the second year. Man, Ben really still didn't know a lot. You know what I'm saying? He still was learning. I mean, Russell Wilson's been in the league, what, 4 years? 3 years, four years,
well,
something like that?
Well, he blinked. Well, here's the thing.
Brady's been in the league, man.
I'm saying Brady's been 10 years.
I mean, Brady's seen every – you can't throw a defense at Brady and he not know what he's looking at. You can't.
Well,
I think in that position.
But you're the one
that
started this whole conversation anyway. You're the one who started the whole thing about let's compare this. if that's the case, I could go ahead and put Eli in this conversation. Because he won a Super Bowl his third year without knowing a whole lot of shit. If you're going to look at it that way.
I mean, I already said it. He only won a Super Bowl without playing.
So what happened is, oh boy, blink. He panicked. That's what happened there. That's exactly what happened.
I think they called a play. He wasn't going to change it. He wasn't going to change that play, Chris. I'm telling you that now. He got that play, and he wasn't going to change that play.
Okay. Well,
he wasn't going to change that play.
We got a couple minutes left. Let me bring in a couple of calls real quick. Hey, Patriots fan, you on there.
You.
Congratulations, man.
Congratulations.
Thank you, man.
Congratulations.
Y'all got lucky, man.
It was a stressful night, bro.
Hey, man.
Come on.
Listen, man. We gave him a lot of shit this year. You gave us a lot of shit. But we got to give him a credit still. Congratulations. It was well-earned. You deserve it. Well-earned. It was a great game.
Yeah.
Well-earned.
I was well-entertained. So congratulations to you, buddy.
Yeah. I almost had a heart attack with that curse catch, man. I can't even lie, man. You know, Steve got the text, man. I just saw the past two Giants Super Bowls happening right before my eyes again, man. I was like, come on, man. I was like, another catch.
Be honest, man. You're a Patriots fan, whatever. Y'all won, it's over with. But be honest. Seahawks really should have won that game last night, man. What's your feelings on that?
You know, when he threw that ball, I honestly thought that was a great call because I thought they were just going to pound it.
Of course he did.
You know, I went crazy. But, I mean, it's one of those calls, man. If he caught that and got the touchdown, you everybody be praising the ballsiness of that call.
Right.
You know? Yeah, I agree with you. Yep.
Right. And the fact that it didn't work, and, I mean, you got to give credit to Butler. Because if Butler didn't make that play
– No doubt.
He made that play. It wasn't like he was wide open. He was wide open. He got in there and made that play. If he didn't make that outstanding play, game was a wrap. That play was on.
And Chris, that's why I say Russell Wilson was not going to change that play, man. He was not going to audible out of that play. Because
that was a sweet play.
Hold on, guys. Let's bring on one more call real quick. I think this is O. O, what's up, man? How you doing?
What's up, man?
Sorry about that. We got about a minute and a half left. What's your thoughts on that game, man? I totally forgot.
Yo, man, it was a great game. I told y'all, Belichick be hat. Yo, you can't never doubt his coaching scheme. And that last call, I would have never called it like that. I would have Marshawn Lynch four down straight. I don't give a damn. He was going to get in there.
But
you know, they called it. They tried to do some trick shit. It didn't work. I'm glad that guy broke on the ball like that. That was something he saw on film. It played out, and he jumped on it, man. And all hell praise the Patriots, man. Because last night, I did pick the Seahawks, but my heart was kind of like, damn, man, I hope the Patriots can pull this shit out because they were shitting on them boys all week. And I just felt that they kept up with them boys, and they stuck in there and they won that shit, man. I'm happy for them, man. I'm happy.
Okay. Wow, you sound all calm and everything, old? Damn.
Yeah, man, I'm calm because all my anger, I blew it out the window yesterday, and it was all because of a book. I felt that, I'm sorry, man, I'm old school. I got a beast like Beast Mode back there. I'm running that ball, man, fall. It's a half a yard. Come on.
Yep.
Damn, yep. It could have even been Russell run it or Marshawn Lynch. Anyway, but I would have never threw that ball. Never. That's just me. That's just my coaching style. I got beast mode. I'm getting in there. I swear that game was over with, man. And when I saw that pick, I couldn't believe it. I was like, did that shit just happen?
Yeah, we out of time, y'all.
All right, my boys.
Good night,
so y'all boys be easy. I'll hear y'all next Saturday. We'll continue.
Nah,
Saturday.
Sunday. Sunday, 6 p.m.
Sunday night.
Oh, Sunday night. What time?
6 p.m.
6 p.m. Okay.
You look
Sunday.
On Facebook.
Right,
watch
gotcha.
Facebook. Watch Facebook. All right,
I
y'all.
Got you. All right, peace.
All right, guys. Y'all be safe. All right.
Bleed blue, 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 bleed blue.